Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, it is 2026, and obviously there is absolutely no new news for you at all, nothing going on, and this year should be calm, peaceful, and quiet. Right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, you've been so busy. We haven't, you know, it's the first show of the year, but I don't think we did a show for the last 2 weeks of the year before.
Yeah. Yeah. We had to, had to get some stuff done. You know, sometimes life gets in the way of things. So,
yeah, understandable.
Yeah. But I mean, that doesn't, you know, my absence doesn't stop the absolute beast of a year that you're having. So, the last 2 weeks, tell us about the finality of 2025 and kind of look back at, you thought 2025 was in terms of FSW.
Well, you know, I think first we might as well talk about the final show of the year, which we got very, very close to the midnight. In the past, we got right to midnight. And then last year, I think we were done by 11:30. And, you know, that was kind of rare. I was actually probably home by 11:50. I figured we would be about 11:40-ish, but again, we got pretty close. I think we got to about almost, by the time Sharp finished his speech, I think we got close to about 11:55. So, you know, and the fans, where are they going to go? You know, so pretty much everybody was still in the building. You know, I was walking around, you know, trying to pay everybody, get everything done with. And then all of a sudden I heard, you know, 40 people between the fans that were still there, and everybody counted down and, enjoyed themselves together. So,
yeah. Yeah. And, that's one of the nice things about having that New Year's Eve tradition. So, when you look at the past year, what was, some of the biggest highlights for you in 2025?
Well, you know, something that started out after something that was extremely horrific, which was Chris Bay breaking his neck in October of last year.
Yep.
And to be able to put together quite possibly, and I would say quite probably, the biggest independent wrestling show of the year.
Yeah.
It was by far the most star-studded independent wrestling show of the year.
Right.
You know, Chris got over $25,000 for the show that we did, thanks to people like RVD showing up and Ricochet Wrestling and John Morrison. And if it wasn't for injuries, Shane Strickland and Brian Cage, who still showed up.
Right.
You know, yeah, it's easy for Brian. He lives in Vegas for sure. But Shane Strickland, you know, didn't get cleared to wrestle for AEW after he ruptured his eardrum, but still got on a flight and flew to Vegas and tried to mess up the whole show by doing like a 30-minute promo. But besides that, the fact of the matter was, his boys, the Rascals and Ace Austin and Rhino reaching out and Frankie Kazarian and, you know, our guys who, you know, got inserted into the matches and got to be able to work with them. And we saw a crazy cool tag team of like Jay Vidal, Bodie and Rhino in a 6-man tag. And it was like, that to me was by far the biggest moment in FSW for 2025, because people may laugh, they may say, oh yeah, whatever, you know, because it's a business and it's about making money and stuff like that. And people who know me realize that I'm not expecting to be becoming rich by running FSW. Never have, never will. Comfortable, wife still works, you know. And it's like the things that I appreciate the most is a guy like LA Knight calling me out in Vegas, Cross coming back for that show, yeah, and making sure WWE, and that was, you know, an idea of doing this show initially inside the FSW arena, because hopefully we can get a couple hundred people, we can raise a few thousand dollars for Chris. And then it just fucking exploded. And, you know, the next month after that, there was no rest for the wicked. It was Mania weekend. Right. Mania week, and we had all these shows. And then our anniversary came out, and it was like, wow, we did some really good numbers. And then Survival of the Fittest, which has struggled in the past, did some really good numbers. And then we ended the year off with Luck of the Draw. And other than the Chris Bay show, that was the biggest show. And yeah, we had Cross back again. So you would think that, okay, for sure, Chris Bay show had the most people there. But you would think a major fall off is going to come down after that, because we saw people come out of the woodwork. We saw people fly in from all over the country for that show. But the momentum from March, you know, it lasted almost the whole year. And now we're going into this year. And now it's like, holy shit, we're on the strip. Like, you would think that, okay, 2025, that's the pinnacle, the bucket list, everything that we've done. And now it's like, oh shit, we got a show on the Las Vegas Strip coming up in 2 weeks. We got a show, and it ain't even a show. We're going to do something in San Diego at a Major League Lacrosse game, and we're going to do a Rumble. And it's like, wow, maybe, just maybe, FSW can now do what we've always wished or dreamed we could, but didn't think feasible. And maybe that's starting to do shows in different cities, possibly around the United States. You know, we had an offer to do one in Atlantic City in GCW Stomping Ground, and I just felt it was not cost effective for us to do the Showboat, where GCW has been a mainstay. And yeah, maybe if we did it with GCW and we lose out on our match, but the idea was Cardona versus Cross 3.5 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, what do we got going on? It's like, we got so much going on that it's hard for the younger guys and everybody to understand. It's like, I got a lot of shit that I got to do. And no offense, but focusing on you or a Future Shock guy or that takes a lot of work. And I'm still doing the storylines and doing the stuff. And now I'm getting a little more input. You know, and, you know, always had Remy around, and now Ice is, you know, stepped up, and, you know, talked with TJP yesterday, and it looks like he's going to become a regular trainer again because he's got a lot of time off from New Japan. Nice. So, you know, we just keep moving. You know, yesterday Sin couldn't make it, and his assistant, you know, his assistant is the guy who trains fucking Batista, Orton, Cena, after Tom Howard, of course, but Rip Rogers lives in town. And, you know, even if you don't want to train, just to listen to Rip Rogers stories is worth showing up for, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. And it's like, man, and I'm looking at the roster, and now it's like, we got to put together the show. And I got main people who've been FSW champions 6 months ago, that there really is no spot on the card. And it's like, yeah, you know, had conversations. You know, we got 50 people for 20 spots.
Yeah.
25 spots because I'm trying to do a scramble. And I just added the match for New Year's Resolution, because not only are these guys fucking damn good, but they are more than deserving to be on the show. And, you know, my biggest qualm was Shogun's back. And there's really not a singles match. So it's like, you know what? Generally, I like doing some of those no limit type scrambles. But we've just added a five-way scramble match that's going to have a little bit of everything in it. We're going to have Shogun, who's won numerous titles in FSW.
Right.
Matt Vandergriff's injured out. Now it's like, where are we going to go back with Damian Drake? So he's in the scramble. He's been with me for 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Me, one of the breakout stars of 2025, Bryce Saturn, just a tag team champion. But he's had some fantastic matches, and that's what got him basically a full-time gig in FSW was his singles matches with Matt Vandergriff and Ice Williams. So he's right in the scramble. So that's the third guy. And then it's like, man, we got some really good young talent. But a guy who's kind of stood out. I like everything about him. I like everything he does. I like his politics, which is important. And Jaden Cole is, you know, got a spot.
Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's like, okay, and that's four. And then it's like, okay, where are we going? Who's the other? So the Suavecitos, they hit me up and they were like, hey, boss, you know, we had an idea. We're the tag team champions. You know, the Suavecitos, even though they'd left with us before, while they were getting their traction, I felt bringing in a guy who was a veteran in the business, who was an outstanding wrestler, but maybe wasn't getting over to the masses. So I said, hey, I got this idea. I'm going to put Adrian Quest in with the Suavecitos.
Yeah.
And it was a big hit. It did very, very well. Adrian Quest got that personality group with them, and right, they were a lot of fun together. But then when the Citos went on the road, Adrian Quest was a full-time member, and they did a lot of work together. So they asked me, out of respect, hey, would it be cool? Because this is a big, big moment for us. Could we have Adrian Quest come out with us? And I'm like, fucking absolutely. And it's like, but you're going to tell me we're going to have Adrian Quest be on the show and he's just going to walk out with you guys in a match and then leave? So it's like, well, now the scramble has a fifth guy. And right, that will be somebody who he kind of left us because, you know, he started doing a lot of New Japan stuff. Yeah. So we're talking about a fucking top name talent. And he's going to be in that match. And then we got a rematch of Bodhi and Luke. And with Brittany being available, we got a triple threat women's match that's going to have Fallon Gray and Zamaya and Taylor York, who might be one of the most improved women that we've had on the roster. She started, you know, at Future Shock on PCW. And same thing with Fallon. You know, she was rough around the edges. We saw some great potential. And usually it takes a lot longer for them, but they've really gotten it. And because of Brittany not being there, it opened up some extra women's spots. And for those that are thinking, hey, what about Maserati? Well, right now we're trying to finalize. Unfortunately, Doomfly is not available, but we were going to do a tournament, intergender tournament. And one of the matches was going to be Remy Marcel, the original OGs, and Maserati. So we're still working on which might be the final match. And we're definitely going to do a pre-show, you know, and we're putting that together. So we should have it finalized. So the card is pretty much set. And it's like, this is boom. And then, you know, had a conversation with the Silverton. Didn't go as great as I wanted. They, you know, they're raising the price. I got them to knock the price down a little bit, but it's still more money than it was. Not really excited about that, obviously.
Right.
But No Escape is one of our biggest shows. And as I said to him, it's like, well, you know, we got the added cost. We got to rent the cage. You know, your added cost. Man, it's making it really difficult for us to do that. And he gave me a number that, again, it wasn't take it or leave it, but it's take it or leave it on our end. And that's why this show at the HyperX Luxor is very, very important to us. Because if we can make things happen and for the deal that we're getting, then, you know, the Silverton becomes, you know, basically the two WrestleMania shows a year instead right. of the five pay-per-view shows a year, because we really believe we can churn out a once a month, like we did back in the day at the Silver Nugget, marquee show on the Strip. And people were already surprised because ticket prices for front row were $5 less than they were for the Silverton.
Sure.
You know, people crying about parking. Well, you get 3 hours free with your ID. Get an MGM card and you don't have to pay at all. But yep. you're going to, if you don't want to pay for parking and you're going to be on the Strip in a place that's very easy to get to, that there's no traffic, you go on the roof. You basically go park on the roof, not on the first floor, because then you'd have to walk up to the third floor. Park on right. the roof, separate entrance. You basically walk across the bridge, down the steps, and 500 to 800 feet later, you're walking into the HyperX Arena. So right. literally from your car to the arena is 6-minute walk. You know what I mean? And the yeah. parking is free. If you don't want to worry about it, then you pay $20. But we're not gouging you on prices. You got a full bar. We're going to have more than one bartender. We're going to have servers. Nice. Their goal is that, because our deal is we also have a food and drink guarantee. So if we can get to those numbers, the amount of money we pay out is less and less. So, hey, please don't go to the public house to eat before the show, because that's the food that they're serving. And you can get the same burger for the same price there inside the arena. We'll open the doors, you know, if we have to. The show starts at 7. Doors will open by 6. Maybe they open at 5:30. And if you want, you can sit. You can play video games in the meantime. You can eat some food. You can chill with your friends. You can get a VIP suite. You know, this is taking it to a different level. You know, having three VIP suites and one super suite.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is amazing.
And I can't sell, you know, this show any bigger. Gregory Sharp versus, you know, the OG of Vegas wrestling, Kenny King.
Yeah.
First ever FSW heavyweight champion, former, before it became, I guess, the Nevada State, he was an elite champion. He's been a tag team champion.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he's still at the top of his game. It ain't like Kenny's 53 years old. You know what I'm saying?
No, he's like 63.
Yeah. You know, but we grew up with Kenny. Kenny's the man. Yeah. You know, yeah. And we felt, you know, we had a confrontation with Duke Lawrence at Countdown to Midnight. You know, he's been told he was the number one contender before. And now all of a sudden he's not on the card.
Yeah.
He tried you know, we're taking over the Strip. He was trying to take over Countdown to Midnight. He said he was going to sit in that ring till midnight. And I had to talk some sense into him. It's like, hey, bro, I totally get it. I understand. You know, we didn't know we were going to do this show. So we penciled you in for the next casino show, you versus Sharp. Well, bump in the road, we got another casino to let us have a show. And it's going to be a big deal. And as much as we could have moved it up, I just felt out of a friendship that started, I'm going to say about 26 years ago, because I met Kenny when Rush had his school, and we created Vegas Extreme, which had to be around 1999, 2000.
Yeah.
And we brought in guys like Mike Knox from Arizona, Derek Nykirk. That's how, Navajo Warrior was the first guy I met in the business who helped me out with information. And he brought GQ Gallo, who was a pretty boy instead of this big, huge dude now. And they brought Mike Knox. I introduced them to Derek Nykerk, who then him and Knox became best friends. And Nykerk was also a WWE guy. And Ace Steele, through a friend of mine, Pete, who had some wrestling training when he was young in Chicago. And he trained with Ace Steele and Colt Cabana and CM Punk and became friends, stayed friends with Ace Steele. Ace Steele came out and flew to Vegas because Bison Smith, who was a Mike Modest guy, they had known each other. And he wanted to wrestle Bison one more time because I believe they wrestled in Japan. And we kind of put this together, this hodgepodge company called Vegas Extreme that had, you know, pockets of people from different companies, you know, and put it all together. And Kenny King had just gotten out of Tough Enough and he was training with Rush a little bit. So Kenny was going to be our marquee guy in 2000. And he had a friend, Lance something. I don't know who it was, but we had an idea. And Lance had the those big phones that were like that big. And I gave him the name Lance Escalade. I don't know if he drove an Escalade, but I called him Lance Escalade. He was Kenny's manager. And we still joke about Lance Escalade this day, maybe to come back for one night only. Don't even know if the guy's still alive. You know what I mean? I don't think Kenny's talked to the guy in 25 years, you know. But Lance Escalade and him were the with the crew. And ever since then, you know, stayed in touch with Kenny. And then, of course, when FSW was created, because we didn't do anything from 2000, 2001, so we started up in 2009 at that point, because Kenny wasn't a Ring of Honor guy. He was just that tough enough. He couldn't even wrestle. And 8 years later, now Kenny was a guy in FIP, and then he got the job through Gabe, and then he got in Ring of Honor when Gabe took over Ring of Honor. And Kenny started with us in 2009. Derek Nykerk was on that first show, and so was Gallo. And so it was Modest. And, you know, that's how FSW really started. So Kenny King has been the mainstay from day one, from actually minus one, if you count the Vegas Extreme days. So, you know, and when we had some issues with training back in the day, Kenny stepped up and really took over as the head trainer and solidified the training facility. And ever since then, it was smooth sailing. And we've had, you know, the Sin Bodies and the D'Lo Browns. And now we got Bateman. And now we got Bay. And leading into, we've had TJP at times. And now TJ, we might have a day opening up. And I'm like, hey, if you want to fill in. He's like, hey, you know, I'll do it every week. And it's like, fantastic. Yeah. You know, we've been doing a TV class and we're trying to do that more frequently. And with Aria Davari in town, because Sean was a mainstay trainer for us when he lived here. So, you know, you can go. No, actually, you can't go to WWE Developmental. You have to be invited in there and have to have a contract. Right. But if you want to go and see a who's who of professional trainers, then FSW is definitely at the forefront. You know, if you can name me another place, you know, Booker has Booker. You know, it isn't like Booker has, you know, four other guys that were made it in the business.
Right.
Booker's the main guy. You know, Rikishi's the main guy. FSW, man, we got half a dozen guys. We had Tom Howard when he was around.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, we have D'Lo. He still comes around. And Sin Bodhi. And now Bateman's full-time. And Chris Bay's now full-time.
Yeah.
And trying to get Aria Davari in the mix. And TJP is back. And it's like, cheerleader Melissa, you know, she's been around on numerous occasions, you know, working with people and working with the women. So, you know, it speaks for itself. You know, I can tell you over 20 or 30 of our students have wrestled on TV for either AEW, TNA, the Ring of Honor, extras for WWE. You know, GCW, Bodie's on all the time now. Brittany Brooks is on there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. AEW, Sky High's doing something with them again. And when they're in, he said it's funny because they're from New Mexico and live in Vegas, but they only get booked whenever they do a show in Phoenix, he said.
Wow. Right.
Right. Which is crazy. And the mariachis, somebody told me, have been hit up to go do something there.
Yeah.
So they have the pipeline. Sean Dean, who does the booking, Ari Davari, who is a producer there, you know, comes by my house to grab the key to train in the morning is on some of the days, you know. So it's like all these connections that have been made have really given opportunities that unfortunately a lot of these kids don't get and don't understand that that isn't the norm. That is very rare. You can go to 99% of the other wrestling schools in this country and you won't get the access to people that you get. Another conversation yesterday with Gabe Sapolsky, hit him up. Hey, bro, just touching base. Are we going to be doing another seminar tryout, Mania Week? And the answer, two words, yes, please, because he loves working with FSW. He knows there's going to be quality that's coming out of there. Jaden Cole, without any matches, did the tryout. I'm like, you sure? He's like, yeah, I want to give this a shot. Impressed me, impressed Gabe, was on the next Future Shock. And look what happened to him from April till now.
Yeah.
And then I said to Gabe, here's a little spoiler. Hey, we looking at doing another ID show? Yes, for sure. Love to. I'm like, awesome. Well, we're trying to lock in the HyperX Arena. And they're kind of on the fence because they're talking about MGM, something about... We can't run WrestleMania weekend like the Saturday and Sunday. And I'm like, well, okay, I makes no sense, but I get that. But as long as we could do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But I think if I present to them now saying, hey, we're going to do a show that WWE is behind. What do you think? Right. I think that can encourage them. And it's like, well, if the ring's already there Thursday at 8 o'clock, why wouldn't we do a 2 o'clock and a 5 o'clock show there? It's just more people in your building.
Right.
So, and again, you know, the hits keep coming. And it's like, you know, almost forgot about it. It was like, because there's so much going on. And it's like, man, and I got to live my day-to-day life and trying to do stuff. And, you know, we put together a tape deck. People are asking about sponsors and sponsorship. And we actually have for Full Tilt for the first time a title sponsor, you know, wants to have access. To talking to people. He is a you know, you have personal trainers. Well, he's a financial advisor. Maybe you should talk to him there, Matt. You know what I mean? You know, and again, it's stuff that common sense, like to me, I know, I understand, but it's same thing with pro wrestling training. You need to hear it more than once from people to it really to absorb. You know, unless, you know, it's somebody like Cross walks in, hopefully, when he did that seminar. Here's a guy who started out at 28, 29 years old, and he was just a guy who loved pro wrestling and never did nothing with it and was a jiu-jitsu guy and, you know, street fights or whatever he would do, saying, this is what I want to try. And within 5 years, buddy, within 5 years, you know, he became a superstar.
Yeah.
And he didn't become a superstar because it was like, oh, my God, what amazing matches. No, his persona, his character, everything else. Yeah, he's a big dude, but it takes more. There's a million big dudes. How many big dudes do you see that are just on there and have never really made it in the business? And, you know, Kevin turned down you know, a lot of money because he felt he was in the position to. Life-changing money.
Yeah.
Because he thought he couldn't do better somewhere else. And yeah. You can't listen to that person who's basically your neighbor. He was the guy you trained with that you looked at like, oh, yeah, this is a big motherfucker. You know, he might be a good indie wrestler. Nobody looks at anybody and being like, oh, that guy's going to the Fed. That guy, Chris Bay, 5'6", 150 pounds. Oh, that guy's going to be a mainstay in TNA. He's going to be a champion.
Yeah, right.
You know, those are the people. And Chris Bay, you can absorb that fucking knowledge every single week. And twice on show weeks, because he's usually there to critique and to give you advice. So,
yeah, of course, yeah, that's amazing.
People can say anything they want about me, but you know what? If you don't put the school over, then you're just full of shit.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. You know, one of the guys, he said, Bodie, obviously a product of the school, and Damian Drake, product of the school, you know, guys who are mainstays now on the big shows and in FSW, and, you know, the sky's the limit for all of these guys. So you mentioned the Mariachis, you mentioned Suavecitos. That's a big tag team championship match.
Two guys, you know, you have two brothers. Obviously, I didn't put them together, but as close as Ricky and Danny are, you almost think they're brothers. They're not. You think they came in together and wanted to be a tag team? They didn't. They were put together because I felt that they would work well together. And once again, Joe hit a home run on putting Danny and Ricky together.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it took, in all fairness, it took time for them to gel and understand what it meant to work as a tag team and actually learn the psychology of tag team wrestling. And I think
unless you're brothers,
right?
When you come to the school with your friend, 99% of those people who walk into the FSW training facility aren't saying, hey, man, I got this great idea for a tag team with my buddy. No, these people all want to be the champion. They want to be the man or the woman that's the champ. That's why it's like, you know, women's tag team wrestling is kind of weird to me because nobody was a tag team. You know, when I grew up, I turned it on. Hey, the Rockers, you know, and then NWA. I loved the Midnight Express. And you had the Rock and Roll Express. And you had the Fantastics. And these guys had tagged and tagged and tagged. And with the women tag teams, there's no women that were ever a tag team because every spot is difficult to get. I had a conversation with one of the females. And it's like, you got to understand. You know, there's 30 guys and there's 8 girls. So there's not going to be 4 matches for men and 4 matches for women and all 8 women get on the show. That's just not how it works. At most, there's going to be 2 matches. One might be an intergender tag and mine might be a scramble or whatever. But at most, 4 or 5 women are getting on a show unless we do an all-women show, which we've done, which we still throw a couple guys on. But those shows are a couple times a year. So generally, everybody's fighting for a spot on the card.
Right.
And when you got 50 guys and you got 8 girls, you can't, you know, and then there's only 20 spots. You can't justify 8 out of 8 women being on a show, but only 12 out of 50 guys being on a show.
Right. Sure.
So you're trying to give opportunities, you know, wherever they're at. And on Future Shock and who's available and things change and injuries and missed flights for some people and whatever the situation may be. It's like getting a spot on an FSW show, I'm sorry to say, is more valuable than other places in town.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, justify what you're doing. Won't, that goes into consideration when I'm putting together a show. And again, that by far is not, because, you know, there's a lot of the wrestlers who work a lot of the shows, but it definitely affects a guy who's trying to get booked from Arizona or California. Well, you're working three other shows in town. Why would you have value? I can go see you over there. I can go see you over there. I can see you there tomorrow. Like, you're right. Going to be in town for that show. So you think you're just going to hit me up like I got a spot for you? No fucking way.
Yeah,
you have to earn your fucking spot here, motherfucker.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, companies out there that allows this type of opportunity. Right. And also you got to think how many guys that you bring in for, you know, marquee matches. I think if you look just at the last big show at Silverton, you have a guy like Cross. What an opportunity for a guy like Limelight, who put in his time, put in his dues, really showed what he could do here. And Limelight was someone who came in, you know. So it's like, you either start the school here, or, you know, you come in because someone brings you in, you know, like Vandergrift coming in because of Damian Drake, you know. You come in because, you know, Remy recommends you, or, you know, Dom and that crew recommends you, Hammerstone. You know, there's so many opportunities, but all the opportunities come from actually proving your worth. And once you show you have that worth, man, you got a lot of competition, because you have to continue to prove that you are valuable and that you bring something. And that's not the case at most places. Most places are very happy to have maybe two or three or four people who have that level of talent, in which they can put 16 other people on the show and have, you know, a wrestling show, as compared to what you have to plan and do, including then putting storylines together, which is another aspect that a lot of the shows don't have.
Well, you know, if take a look at our tag team division, for example, okay? The Suavecitos came back, so we have them in the mix. Mariachis, they came up the ranks. Makeshift Chemistry became a team. They both got hurt. They came back. We have so many tag teams. They were looking to do their own thing anyway. They were, in normal words, what you guys wanted wouldn't be all end all. It'd be like what I want. But I'm okay with it, because we have those tag teams. And then we have Sky High, who's been with us forever. We have Devin Reno and Class, who's been with us forever. And they've been tag team champions. And we had a lull. So Bryce Saturn and Damian Desire became a tag team, and they became very, very good, became champions, and held the belts for a very long time. But you also had in the mix Young Money, who got brought in from PCW, nice, strong, young tag team. And we needed tag teams, for example, and you have the Faction, of course, and you have the Po' Boys, who are kind of put together. And then you had Golden Showers, who kind of got put together. And then, because I needed a tag team for Future Shock, and these guys always wanted to work, but didn't really have spots for them. Freddie Cordova, Flyboy, and Enrique Calderon. I put them together. I'm liking what I see from them. So now we got the Chingon Cartel. They're going to be a mainstay tag team. They're ready to be on the main shows, but there just may not be spots yet. And JKM and Dante King were impressive on New Year's. They're a solid team. Then we got the kids, Louie and the Solution, Louie and Kevin, the Arizona Ace. And they're that, you know, exciting young tag team that, you know, they got a place on the show. And then it's like you still got Greatness and Tenacious, and they're going to now be on the show wrestling the Po' Boys at Future Shock this coming this week. And it's like I'm looking over the tag teams, and now we got Dave Mazzani with C4 and the First Responders. Great name Remy came up with. The one time I didn't come up with the great name, I'm like, man, I like that name. You know, Dave gave up MMA. He decided to retire. He's become a fireman. C4 works on the Nellis Air Force Base, and the idea of the First Responders came about. Then we got another young tag team of Con Osborne and Sanders, and now they are known as the Crusade. There's literally 10, 12 tag teams. And it's like, do you think I don't love Tito and Che, or the idea of the Hammerstone and Graves coming together? There's so many tag teams. Like at Future Shock, we have eight tag teams are going to be wrestling on the show. Sky High and the Asylum that I forgot about. Yeah. Another tag team. So when, wait, 10. There'll be 10 tag teams in action.
Wow.
At Future Shock. And that's not even the main roster guys. Not the Sky High is not a main roster team, but we're not counting the faction. We're not carrying Class and Reno. We're not, you know, we're not counting the champs, the Suavecitos. We're not counting the Mariachis.
Right.
It's literally fucking like 15 tag teams I just named.
Yeah. Yeah.
How easy is it to get six of them on a show?
Yeah.
Because guess what? At New Year's Resolution, we have the Suavecitos and the Mariachis. And we're doing an 8-man tag. So you got the faction, Class and Reno and Young Money. So, okay, there's three tag teams getting that match.
Right.
And then we have an intergender with Remy and Maz. So that's it.
Yeah.
Those are all the tag teams. So a team who's been with us for 6, 7, 8 years, Sky High, they're not on the show. Dante King and JKM had, you know, Dante asking, I'm like, sorry, bro, you know, you guys got to, you know, try to get him on Future Shock. Not available. Well, that brings you down a notch, bro. Like, I get it. You got to take your other bookings, but you didn't ask about our date. And now you can't do Future Shock for me. You think I'm going to go out of my way to get you on New Year's Resolution?
Yeah.
When I have other guys. And again, Dante King, former No Limits champion. Love to have him on the show. But I'm not going to do a 13-man scramble because there's eight other guys that I think should be on the show that aren't, but I want to figure a way. There's no battle royals in this. You know, we're not just giving, we're not giving gifts. You're involved in something, you know, and hopefully Dante understands, hey, you know what? How many casino shows in a row was he on when a Jordan Oasis wasn't on any shows? Period.
Yeah.
But now him and San Lu are going to have a title versus title match, because that's something that I'd like to see. Two guys who just recently won the titles. They are definitely skilled. Oasis is a former ID guy. He got released in the middle of a program that he was doing.
Right.
So the fact that we didn't use him is on us. You know, things just didn't work out. There wasn't any issues money-wise. There wasn't any issues other than scheduling, and just didn't want to take that guy who's now got known for being in the WWID program to just throw him in a random, what is perceived as a meaningless match.
Right.
You know, and you got Jay Vidal coming in from Florida, wants to be on the main roster all the time. Give me the dates. I'll make it work. So whether Jay lives in Vegas or not, he's still a Vegas guy because he's making those dates.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Jay kind of has to now because Bateman kind of controls.
Well, that too. You know, you can't be a servant if you can't serve.
Right. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's insane to think of.
And then realize you only have to have, and then you have eight matches tops.
Yeah.
All those guys that we've just talked about. Limelight messaged me. Hey, bro, am I booked on the 24th? It's like, no, bro, you're not. Sorry. Yeah. Like, you know, you chose to take a step back. You were perfect for the Bay thing. You know, I'm going to use Limelight in San Diego for the Rumble match because I want nothing but the best. It's going to be 20 of the top people that ever worked for FSW or named guys that we've not used in the past, or we have most likely we've used, but like I've hit up Tito about it. You know, yeah. I already said we got Hammerstone and Graves and Class and Reno are four of the names on the Rumble. Ice Williams is going to be there for sure. So I know we got five names. I hit up the Godfather. Unfortunately, he's already booked that day in March. And Cross is booked for a Comic-Con. So now it's time to go through that Rolodex. So, you know, I got to hit back up Morrison. I got to hit up Masters. You know, I want some Cali guys. That way we can offset, you know, some of the costs. Not really want to fly in a guy from the East Coast. You know what I mean? The budget ain't that great. You know, it's good to bring in a named guy. So we want to bring TJP. He could be a guy, you know, hop in a car, bro. You know,
right.
And be part of the Rumble. You know, TJ's a guy that, you know, he lives here. We can make it work, you know, sharp. And we got, you know, 8 to 10 FSW guys that we want for sure to be on that show. So, you know, everything's big. And now with the Silverton, the No Escape has been moved from February 15th to tentatively March 8th. I wanted to do March 1st. Because I'm looking to also do the HyperX again March 28th, which I think 3 weeks from a Silverton show to the HyperX is fine. I don't think 3 weeks from a HyperX to the No Escape is fine. I would rather have a little more leeway because that coming out of that show, now we'll have a little bit of time to build the stories. And for a Silverton show, you know, we want to have the best stories moving forward.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You know, the showcasing of everything now is that much higher. And one of the things you showed here is an idea of what we're looking at, which is a pretty cool setup.
Right. Because right now you're looking at when they did a boxing thing, it was a 22 by 20 foot ring, which makes it 18 by 18, which is weird to me because I only counted 11 seats there. Okay. So even if we're a few back, but there's still this area of 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. So we're going to do about 20 seats on the stage. So I'm trying to make sure we get to at least 70. I thought we would be able to get to 75 or 80. I don't believe that's going to be possible because with the 18 by 18 foot ring, it's a little bit less. So you can't really move it even further back because there's only 28 feet from the stage to the wall. So there's only going to be with the ring going up against the stage like that, there's only 10 feet back that way. So that 10 feet, the most we're going to be able to do is two rows because we have to have at least a 5 foot clearance. Okay.
Right.
Now on this side, there's plenty of room because there was a different picture I didn't post that had it at about 5 or 6 rows. So we don't need that many rows. So I'm okay with moving these seats back a little bit more to get, say, 17, 15, that would be, and 20 makes it about 69. So we can get 70 seats. But right now we're pretty much at 70 seats.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, front row is kind of done. And again, like I said, the upper area, you're going to be overlooking. It's a beautiful view. It's going to be where we've already got people bought the four tops. Nice. They're set up for 6 now. We're going to move them because there's a whole area over there where there's the bar where it would be for people to just stand. So we're just going to put like 5 more. That way it increases the seating.
Yeah.
Because there's 175 chairs for the floor and then everything else around it. So we're hoping we can get about 350 seats in there.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
And then you got the VIP room, obviously, that seats 12 to 15, maybe.
Yeah.
The big one. So, but it's going to be a super, super setup. It's going to look fantastic. So,
yeah. Yeah. That's very encouraging. Also, some cool new merch is heading to be sold, which these designs are fantastic.
Yeah, the first one Cisco did, and Mikey did the other ones.
The other ones, yeah, really nice.
So yeah, we're hoping to have them. We have to pre-order. There's some kind of thing about not being able to sell shirts there. Well, I'm not selling shirts if I've already sold them. I'm just handing
distributing them. Yeah, just distributing.
And then if somebody wants to buy a shirt that's there, we'll just get the info, make the payment, and we'll give it to them after the show or before the show or whatever.
Right.
You know, we'll make it work. I don't understand the reasoning because they sell shirts themselves there.
Well, that would probably lead to what the reasoning is the fact that they're not going to get a cut of it. So, you know.
Yeah, it seemed like it was something like there was, you need a special license for that. It's like everything is special licenses now.
So that brings up a great question, which until this moment I never thought of. What does it look like now for the talent to sell merch?
Well, I kind of asked that question, like, hey, I can't come in here and bring in Cross, for example, and he can't sell an autographed picture. No, I think it's just the shirts. Okay, well, I'm not going to pry and I'm not going to plug in.
Right.
But I don't know if it's because of what that is compared to an autograph or a picture taken and things like that.
Right.
I'm not going to question it until it has to be brought up because we deal with the Silverton. We dealt with Samstown for many years. At Samstown in the beginning, we had to keep all the merchandise on the outside. If we didn't, we had to pay a fee and we had to pay an LET because we were selling it in the venue. So we kept it outside because outside it was okay. And then after a few years, so that was for many years at Samstown, we were fine. Everything was inside because they weren't busting balls for, $1.50 on a shirt for the 30 shirts that were going to be sold. It's like, yeah, come on, guys. I'm paying you a couple thousand dollars. Are you going to worry about your $74 cut? Because I remember the Silverton one time I had to give them like $80 or something because of shirt sales. But then after that, it never happened again. So,
yeah,
unfortunately, there's rules and there's laws. But the people who govern those laws aren't really aware of them themselves.
Right.
When I had to deal with certain things and I'd ask a question and, you're fine. Then I'd get an email and be like, hey, what are you doing? You're not allowed to do that. Like, what do you mean? They were in the building telling me that we're all good. And now you, somebody I've never met or heard of, is sending me a random email saying that I'm not good.
Yeah.
Why do I not believe them and I have to believe you? Well, how about I believe them and you prove me otherwise? Because I'm looking at Shakur and he's still waiting on his license.
Jeez.
Got a site plan, but the site plan didn't include the fucking parking lot that he had to pay for. It was like $2,500 for a site plan. And it's like, wow, I thought it was just, it's a club. I didn't think having a band play or a comedy show or a wrestling show was a separate entity.
Right. Yeah.
What I mean? But some people are very adamant about, gotta make sure. And it's like, Okay. Well, I've been in business and in the same spot for 13 years.
Yeah.
I get my licenses. I do everything I'm supposed to do that I'm told what I was supposed to do.
Right.
So
interesting. Yeah.
Moving forward, we'll see.
All right. Moving forward, this Friday at 7 p.m. on January 9th is Future Shock. Again, you're going to see Sky High versus the Asylum. You're also going to see Warren versus Oliver Kennedy.
The newfound Oliver Kennedy, former friend Warren Moore.
Yeah. So that should be pretty interesting. And again, the First Responders make their debut as
a they will be wrestling the Crusade.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. You know, obviously Oliver is, basically showed himself at the last Future Shock as the leader of the Crusade.
Yeah.
And he helped take out Mizani and C4.
Yeah. So very, very interesting things going on at Future Shock. And again, like you said, there's going to be a number of tag teams on this card. So
4 tag team matches and 10 tag teams in all. Young Money will be in a tag team match, in a four-way tag team match. That will be also the Chingon Cartel. We're working on a name for the Solution and Kevin Demery. Kevin presented a name, which I like the name, the Problem Solvers, but I'm like, that does not fit your team at all. When I think of Problem Solvers, I'm thinking a guy 6'4", 320 pounds.
Yeah.
Not two guys that don't combine for 320 pounds.
Right.
You know, unless they're solving math problems on their off time.
Right.
There you go. They could be the Problem Solvers, but they could be like these two nerdy kids that are still in high school.
Yeah. Or like the Genius Robe and, like Valedictorians.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Hey, there's another name, the Valedictorians.
Yeah.
That could be a name to pull out. Oh, I might have to put that in the Joe's putting that one in the back pocket.
Again, Future Shock, it's going to be fun to see. And these guys have to step it up. That's the
Demir nice Morningstar returns to Future Shock.
Oh, nice.
He's going to go one-on-one with Damon Ace. Damon Ace has been recommended from guys like Class and Reno.
Yeah.
The Justin. Hidden Solution? Yeah. Somebody wrote something about that. That makes zero sense to me. I don't even know what the fuck they're talking about. Yeah, I know. He's called The Solution. I didn't know the other one's hidden. Is he like John Cena? You can't see him? I want a tag team name that's exciting, young, kind of similar to like what they are,
Right.
Without using the name Wrecking Crew or Express. That's adamant. We will not have a team named the Express or Wrecking Crew.
How about the Express Wrecking Crew?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, man. So, again, Future Shock is coming up this Friday. And then, of course, on the 24th, which is a Saturday at 7 p.m. at the HyperX Arena at the Luxor. You see Greg Sharp defending that title against Kenny King. Of course, Jordan Oasis and Son Liu title versus title match. The tag team championships on the line with the Suavecitos and the Mariachis going at it. The 8-man tag match between Lights, Camera, Faction and Young Money and Pretty City Express. BYP, young Bodhi Prodigy, who is not young anymore, man.
Luke cut the promo. He's still calling him a kid, but again, when you're 32 and the other guy's 18, he's still a kid.
Right.
People get offended. It's funny. People get offended, and it's like, I saw something. And, it was Wolfgang Van Halen. Okay, and yeah. David Lee Roth, you know, always talking shit or whatever. And it was like, you know, I'm not a kid. He calls me a kid. Well, David Lee Roth is almost 70 and you're 30, 35. So you're still a kid. My kid's 30. He's still the kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it's just like, you know, I was always the kid to my mother and I was 50 years old. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Happy birthday to my mom today. Today would have been her 80th birthday.
Oh, wow.
January 7th. I always remember. And it was always because it was the day after, I believe. Could be the day before. I could be wrong. But Elvis Presley's birthday was like, I think the 6th. And hers was always, was the 8th.
His is the 8th, yeah.
Okay, there you go. So I knew hers was always the day before or
Elvis's birthday.
But it's like, that's not a disrespectful, you know, he could have meant it disrespectfully, David Lee Roth. But that's what 60-year-olds say about 30-year-olds.
Right.
Oh, yeah, the kid. It's a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And here's a good example of three kids. It's Amaya, Taylor York, and Fallon Gray.
Yeah, great opportunity for them. Fallon made the smartest move of her wrestling career.
Yeah.
You know, she did just like what Jacob Austin Young did. Went to a place where he felt that was going to, and it took him a while. But he got to New Japan, and I guarantee you the conversations with Rocky Romero and FSW when things happened later on and meeting TJP, who put you over to them, may not have happened if he never left Arizona.
Yeah.
And even though it took a long time to do it and through many twists and turns, you know, got what he wanted, you know, out of this. Chris Bay moving from Virginia. And it's like not realizing like, wow, this kid did research and he felt that coming to Las Vegas to FSW, some kid in Virginia thought that would be a great move for him. So, you know, I'm extremely honored that people feel that way about something that I created. And, you know, for those who feel that they don't get or didn't get what they felt they deserved, you know, sometimes you need to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody in FSW that I cast aside that became this huge star. And I treated them like, oh, yeah, you're a bum. You're never going to make it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like. Yeah. You see everybody who wants to put the work in, wants to make the effort. And I don't know if you call it an excuse or it's life. Yeah, things do get in the way. But it's your job to circumvent that and figure out how to get it done.
Yeah.
And to blame me is just a cop-out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always easy to, you know, and you know, also unique position too, because when you are creative and owner, you know, there's two different avenues to attack.
Well, yeah, but the one thing that's extremely important is a lot of these younger kids, Joe don't know, he's never around. No, I'm not around at your training all the time. No, I do have other things in life I have to do. But that's why I have trainers. Right. If you don't think that all of you young kids, when you did get spots, didn't get them because Remy said so, or Cody said so, or Kenny said so, or Sin said so, then you're fucking absurd. Your attitude, your behavior, your helpfulness goes a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'll go back to, you know, Bassman was never at training. Never. You're relying on Daniels and fucking Howard to say, hey, this guy's ready, that guy's ready. He relied on Samoa Joe and fucking Cena and all these other guys who were training.
Right. And we have so many veterans, so many. And that's a thing that, you know, UPW did that, again, a lot of schools don't. Bret the Threat moved back, you know, so he's been training. And and Ice Williams is there all the time. And Shogun is there. And Chris Bay's there. And you're getting the knowledge of those people. And Sharp is there all the time. Yeah. And it's like, man, and these guys are involved in training, trying to help you out. And it's like, man, that's not, again, that's not the norm.
No. And it's, you know, and coming, you know, coming from years ago, you know, when I was young and seeing the local wrestling in Chicago, right? I saw, you know, even then, the whole thing was an ego system more so than anything else. And it was maybe bring in, you see a lot of companies do this, bring in one or two or three names so you get the public interest, but everything else is based around 10 or 12 people who aren't going anywhere. They don't give a shit about trying to succeed in the business. They just feel like they're stars in this little small community of, you know, of what they're doing, and you know, are totally fine just being recognized as a pro wrestler in this town, and that's it. And you know, that's not how you become a professional. It's,
you know, I will go on record and say that I don't believe there's a better independent wrestling promotion than FSW. And I'm gonna step back and explain why I say that. Because as good as Defy is, and as good as Relentless is, all they do, and it's not a shot, believe me, not at all, they go out and they find independent wrestlers that are really good.
Right.
They use a bunch of FSW guys. And they put them on their show. We have gotten to a level of where we at for our big shows that 60 to 75% of the guys that are really a big deal in independent wrestling were born in FSW.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
And it's like, when you look, Sharp got his training at FSW. He started somewhere else, but very, very little. He was a baby. Jacob Austin Young, Ice Williams, Shogun, Cross, Zoe had training. We topped her off. You know, I'll say that. Sepha.
Yeah.
Jay Vidal had some training, and again, he was a baby when he came to us. He got the basics. He learned a lot from Gangrel. That's us. Chris Bay, that's us. And now you can look at the Matt Vandegrifts, the Damian Drakes, the Suavecitos, the Mariachis. That's us. We trained them. Man, I look at New Year's Resolution, Bodhi, we trained him. San Lu, we trained him. Yep. Faction, we trained him. Maserati, we trained her. Brittany Brooke, she was trained, but she's come over here. She's, you know, so we can't take credit for her. I'll take credit for Fallon Gray because she has very little training. She's doing very well, but she's going to become way better. Gypsy Mac.
Yeah.
Became star.
Dante.
FSW. Dante. King.
JKM. JKM's showing it too now.
JKM.
It's crazy.
So these, you know, Sky High. You know, he may have started with Sin, but that's part of FSW.
Yeah.
You know, and all these guys. Sure. And then we topped it off with getting Hammerstone before anybody even knew who he was. And Graves before anybody knew him. And other than one place who Class and Reno were. And Danny Limelight, he had a little bit of a name. But Danny exploded. And again, Booker T, he's pretty close. He's got a lot of guys he uses. But he also uses on a regular basis the Richard Holidays now and the Danny Limelights and a lot of others. While, man, ours is as independent wrestling as you can get. And there's so many guys that in any other place, they'd be a top 10 wrestler. But at FSW, Luke Curtis is a top 20 wrestler. But don't tell me Luke Curtis ain't a top 10 wrestler in 90% of the independent wrestling companies around. It's just that we're that good. And Jordan Oasis came here because he thought it would benefit where his career was going. So when you look and you see and you check out a card, you know, go look at all the SoCal cards coming up and go look at different Arizonas. And even with Dom, you know, part of our guys will only work for Dom because that's how he works. But then you got the other part of the crew who works the AWF shows and the IZW shows. So, yeah. So if you're an outsider and you want to get booked on FSW, you better be something special and you better have really good value to me. Like, that's why Bryce Saturn is now a regular on FSW main shows.
Yeah.
You know, he's earned that right. You know?
Yeah.
Juicy, Toa got signed. You know, we got into those guys. Nobody knew who Toa was. I'm the first guy who ever used Toa outside of Rikishi.
Yeah.
Royce and Jarrell, put them together.
Yeah.
You know? Jay and Tito, put them together.
Right. Yeah. It's,
you know, so that's the bottom line. You know, if you didn't get to the spot that you didn't get to, it's not my fault.
Right.
I put tag teams together that fucking shit the bed. Why? Because they hated wanting to be in a tag team. They thought they're so instead of being maybe a top tag team.
Right.
They would rather be a low card guy.
Yep.
As a singles, because they think they're better, and it's Joe's fault that they're not the champ.
Right.
Well, yeah, I guess it is, because I'm the one who is going to dictate that. But no, Danny Limelight came in, worked his first match at Diversion Amusement against Ice Williams for the No Limits title, and I went off on Danny in a very nice way, like, what the fuck are you doing? Mm-hmm. Match kind of fucking sucked, to be honest with you. It was like I had no thought in my mind at any point in that match that you were going to take the belt off Ice. You gave him too much respect. It was like, why did the faction even need to do a run-in? It wasn't like there was ever a danger. Like, they never saved Ice.
Right.
Yep. And then we talked, and then things worked out. We put him in because he worked the night before in the Escape the Cage scramble match. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going to be great, him and Ice, man. He's fucking killing it.
Right.
And it was like, wow. Did all your offense get lost on the fucking sleepover?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? And so it wasn't like he came out of that match and I'm like, oh my God, I got to put the belt on Limelight.
Right.
Nope. It took him a long time. He put in the work and he did some of his best work.
Yep.
And it's the same thing.
And it's reflective too. You got to also remember, I think this is something that gets lost, is for everything you said about Danny there with you in this situation, it also translates for him and Marquez, right? So he held that belt over there for a long time for Universal. And one of the reasons is because of the fact that he's learning those lessons, you know, so you can take what you're learning here and apply it elsewhere. And that's how you grow and you become a professional and you get over the reputation, because we all know.
Well, they didn't do a lot of shows either. I think he defended the title more in 10 months with us than he did in 3 years there. But
sure,
I got you. But again, it, regardless of my thoughts, he got to work good people, and he got to learn things that people don't get to learn in most cases. There's so many fly-by-night companies that they're going to pay you your rate. They'll pay you more than your rate just to get you on a show. And there's different versions of working for 80 to 100 people, because we don't do every show as a big show. And we got 500 people that, hey, we're better than you because we draw 500 all the time. Yeah, we could if we just did one or two shows, you know, every couple months, but we don't, because we're also that learning school to where we're trying to give experience and opportunities, and also getting younger people that may not be, and I'm not going to say not good enough to be on and main FSW show. There just isn't spots for what we got. So we need those smaller shows.
Right.
But you're still working in an atmosphere of that 80 to 100 that easily eclipses 90% of those other shows in Cali and in Arizona and even Vegas, when you're working at some bar and there's 40 people there. It's like, come on.
Right.
Like, what are you benefiting out of it? Who are you wrestling?
Right.
You know? Are they paying you like $200 instead of like 30? Oh, okay. I guess it's worth it. But don't get hurt because you're wrestling some fucking shit stain who hasn't been really fucking trained. You know, I got a guy hit me up. He trained with us for a couple weeks. I see him again. He's going to be at WrestleCon. One day pass, $150 to train with them. It's like, bro, you've never done anything. And then he was hitting me up about being a sponsor. I'm like, so you want me to sponsor? You want me to accept you as a sponsor just because you're giving me money to tell you to go to your school? When we have my lowest guy on my fucking Future Shock has more skill than you. You're the trainer? You're charging $150 for a day pass? You're going to help them with nutrition and fit? Maybe you're good at that. That's great. But you're not going to help them one fucking iota become a professional wrestler, bro.
Right.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And you want us? You want me to tell somebody to pay more money that he's charging, because it's a 12-week course for a couple thousand, I guess. Like, really? For 12 weeks, you're only paying me. Well, you sign up. So for 3 months, I actually give you the discount. You're going to pay me $850 instead of $2,000. And you're going to get 150 years of major league wrestling experience from the people that are going to be training you. Like, get the fuck out of here. It's fucking insanity. Look, Matt's stunned. He can't even think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Because when you think about it, it just makes no sense. And
I don't know if you remember me. Yeah, I remember exactly who you are. Bro. you came in, big plans. 2 weeks later, you were gone. And then you went to a different place because it was cheaper. And I don't think you lasted very much there either. And now you're going to teach people how to be a professional wrestler? What in the world? And it's funny because it's like, you know, it's on the Vegas wrestling page. Anybody could see it. And it's like, why would you go there? You know, I made our post right after, you know, with the fucking flyer and $50 off. And it's like, you know, look who is on that training flyer, you know? Yeah. From Oasis and Ice for the ID guys, for Jacob Austin Young, for Zoe, for Solo, for fucking Cross, for Bay, for Jay Vidal, Vandegrift worked New Japan. And then on the training side, you know, who we got that has actually done something in the business. You know, Kenny King, 30 years. We had Disco Inferno there for a while. We had D'Lo there for a while. We got DJP for a while. And it's just like, and Sin Bodhi and yeah. Bateman. So you got all different aspects. He taught like the New Japan side yeah. of things. And it's like, and they want to charge you twice what we are. I guess, man, you're getting a bargain. I need to raise my fucking prices to his prices.
Right. Exactly. Oh, man. Well, this week, again, this Friday, Future Shock, and coming up on the 24th over there at the Luxor. I mean, big stuff going on. Man, here we go. 2026 is on its way.
So. On its way, man. Let's make it bigger, the biggest one yet.
All right. Until next time, everybody, happy wrestling.